The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, engineering and producing the show, and we've got a lot to talk about. Good thing we are a talk show, right, Ray? So there's a very full hour ahead of us on the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, October 2nd, 2018, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Of course, have our live streaming, buckmastershow.com. and KVOI.com. 790-2040 is our live line number. Without further ado, let's go now to the nation's capital. Terry Bracey is one of two dozen contributors that we're very honored to have as part of our team here at Buckmaster. Terry is our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. He has certainly enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano. Among their clients, they represent the city of Tucson and Pima Community College in the nation's capital. Terry, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Bill. I'm just great. We're having a wonderful time here in Washington.
Yeah, and it's an exciting time for baseball fans like yourself. It's time for the playoffs, right?
Well, my team kind of hit the skids with injuries and new coaches and all that, but I see the Cubs are in it, so at least you've got one team. The Diamondbacks didn't quite make it. They're a good team, though. They're a coming team.
Well, I think the Cubs will do okay. It should be interesting. As you say, at least they'll be around, hopefully, for a while, right?
Yeah. You know, Bill, I just don't see any of the National League clubs being able to beat Houston or Boston, you know, in a seven-game series. So I think it's going to be the American League year. That's my prediction.
Terry, our country certainly is divided. We've been divided in the past, but this time feels a lot different. In your long career, you've seen some of these divisions, but, well, unfortunately, that is the case, isn't it?
Yeah, Bill, I would like to say this is unique, but it isn't. If you really want to talk about division, I'd go back to the year 1968. When we had the assassinations of Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King, and it set our cities on fire, snipers shooting randomly at passing cars in Washington, machine gun nests guarding the Capitol building. You had one moment in time when you had the convergence and simultaneous explosion of the civil rights movement and the anti-war movements. And here in Washington, we had curfews, military law, and tanks in the streets.
You can imagine if this had happened nowadays, what social media and the 24-hour news cycle would have done with this, because it was really, it was dangerous times. I mean, there was an element with the underground, the resistance to the Vietnam War, where you had bombings going on across the country. It was a dangerous time, and I'm sure it affected you personally.
Oh, yeah, everyone was. I mean, I remember very well that Nancy and I had just had our first child, Michael, and he was just out of the hospital almost, and we lived in an apartment in Georgetown above a liquor store. And the police told us to get the heck out of there. And so luckily I had a cousin who lived across town and had a house, so we abandoned ship and went over there, only to find him sitting in his basement while all the lights off with a .357 Magnum in his hand.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's where it can lead, Bill. That is where it can lead.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It really is. Yeah, and the same, I guess, and it wasn't unique to D.C. I was in Chicago at that time, and things were, the cities were burning, weren't they?
That's right. You know, and you really never know when violence, when or where it's coming from. So I wouldn't rule it out now. I do think if President Trump were driven from office early, that could well trigger violence in places where he's popular. It's a very tough time for the country right now, and we have to somehow get through it.
Do you believe that this kind of this bitter political struggle over Judge Kavanaugh's nomination could set off a violent reaction?
It could, Bill. I don't know. I hope not. But this is no ordinary confirmation, Bill. This nomination would, and if Judge Kavanaugh were successful, it would put the Supreme Court in the hands of a really hard right wing for decades to come. Now, the Republican leaders, and I think especially Senator McConnell, they see that the demographics of the country do not favor them. And this is kind of their fallback strategy for holding power. Gerrymandering, they don't think, is going to hold it back, and the other tactics that they've used to get over the demographics. So the strategy is to hold the court, and that will assure the GOP, and particularly the hard right, of having real power for a long time to come. That's why emotions are so high. There's so much at stake.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thought because of the changing demographics. And I think you make a good point that if they can hold on to the court, that gives them a lot of leverage for many years to come. I think that's a pretty sound thesis that you have there, Terry. So you're kind of suggesting that they might support a more, perhaps a more moderate conservative, like retiring Judge Kennedy, who was the swing vote on the court?
Well, I think the Democrats would, or many of them. The history of Supreme Court nominations usually is that there's a bipartisan vote of support. Only recently have we come into this head-knocking business. It's a big decision here, and I think that Judge Kennedy, who is leaving the court, he was the swing vote, and he was a Republican moderate. And so he made important decisions. You know, Roe v. Wade, that was his vote. And others, I think many people in the country seen those votes being reversed if Judge Kennedy gets in.
If Judge Kavanaugh gets in, yeah.
I mean Kavanaugh,
yeah.
Sorry.
You know, and speaking of Judge Kavanaugh, everybody seems to have an opinion these days. So I might as well get your opinion weighing in as well on how you feel about Judge Kavanaugh.
Well, Bill, I think as an adult, he's certainly tried to be a good man. My concern is that he insists on painting himself as this perfect person against the testimony of so many friends and acquaintances. He was a notably heavy drinker as a young man, and he still defends his drinking to this day. And to those of us who had to stop drinking, including me, because we couldn't handle alcohol, this, you know, we've seen a lot of this, and this rings kind of a functioning alcoholic, so that worries me. The other thing is he's so highly partisan, where in his demonstration, in his self-defense the other day, you know, he blames us all on a left-wing conspiracy and all that, but good Lord, with everything he said there, he'd have to recuse himself from half of the cases before the court. So, you know, there's a lot to be admired in his record, but I think we can probably do better.
Hey, Terry, before we wrap it up, and we're going to have Shelley coming on in a few moments to talk about this NAFTA 2.0, the new North American Free Trade Agreement. We're going to talk more about that, but what's some of your ideas quickly?
Well, you know, the dairy people have been griping for years about Canada, and it helps them. I think the auto provision, I'll be interested to see what Shirley has to say. I think that's confusing, and it may work or it may backfire. The intellectual property provision is interesting. And, you know, but all in all, you have to say that this is a heck of a victory for for President Trump.
All right. We'll hear what Shelley has to say, Terry, in a few minutes. Thank you very much for your thoughts. Appreciate it, Shelley. Terry. Now, Shelley's next. You're Terry. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, my goodness. Terry Bracey. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. They're getting ready, believe it or not, for the holidays. And Mona's would be a great place to order all of your Thanksgiving dinner rolls, the pies. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There you'll find a link to Mona's Danish Bakery, Swan and Sunrise, and a link to all of our great sponsors. It's exactly 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show.
At Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, you can landscape it, light it, floor it or store it, open it, close it, snooze it or choose it. Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, October 5th, 6th, and 7th, with free TCC parking. Brought to you by Kinetico, Long Realty, Mattress Firm, and Russet Southwest Corporation Heating and Air Conditioning. Discount coupons at sabahomeshow.com. It's Saba's Fall Home and Garden Show, the best home show ever built.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday during the noon hour for a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Plus, we talk with Democratic Secretary of State hopeful State Senator Katie Hobbs. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Welcome back. Let's consult with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley, how is your week going so far?
Well, the week so far in the Dow is doing awfully well.
Very well. Two days of...
Yeah, the S&P and the NASDAQ aren't too excited about this new plan, but the Dow, large corporations, the largest 30 corporations, feel that this is a pretty good deal.
Well, there's been all sorts of opinions on this, including an op-ed in the New York Times today saying a revised North American trade agreement undermines investor certainty.
Well, you know, the failing New York Times. So there are as many opinions about this rewrite of NAFTA as there are people who may have them. I think that Terry was correct in characterizing the each of the pieces of this deal a little bit differently, with different winners and losers.
First of all, you talked about dairy.
Yeah. So the Canadians have historically taken steps to protect their dairy farmers. They continue to have a higher percentage of their population in rural and farm areas than we do. And it's a politically powerful lobby for them. And they have produced some plans that protect the dairy farmers in Canada from imports from the United States and elsewhere. It was time that in renegotiating NAFTA that we kind of broke into that a little bit, and we've broken into it in the tiniest way. We can import 2% of cheese products out of the United States into Canada. 2% of their production is the limit set by the new deal.
So the door is slightly cracked.
Open. And you don't know, of course, you know, once the door like that opens up, mm-hmm. whether they'll figure out other ways to accommodate their surplus production and ours as well. There's also this weird kind of thing that goes along with that, where in stores where the Canadians would only put wine produced in Canada on certain shelves now has to be shared with imported wine from the United States. So there's some things that, you know, quite frankly, if challenged in court, might not even hold up, because it seems to me that they're interfering in some of the rights of private business owners. Nevertheless, this is overdue rewriting of NAFTA. Most of the analysis that I've been reading about it states that there's nothing really radical in here. The biggest change that appears at, you know, it's not just like 1,000 pages of agreement, but there's also these side letters that define and trace the history of the negotiation and define how the negotiation on a particular issue came out. But it's the idea of how we're going to be treating auto manufacturers and imports of autos, and at what point the components of an automobile have to have been made by laborers who make at least $15 an hour in order to be exempt from tariffs. So it gets to be, you know, fairly arcane, but the thing that I'm fairly certain of is that this is not a revolutionary deal. It is more of the same, which was good for the United States, Mexico, and Canada all along. This will probably continue to be pretty good. One of the reasons the Dow is up is because several large components of the Dow have done well in this deal. The drug companies, Big Pharma, has done well because, quite frankly, the intellectual rights and the patent rights of these drug companies are going to be protected in Canada as they are in the United States for a longer period of time. So to the extent that people were going to Canada to get the same drugs that are prescribed in the U.S. for a lesser amount of money because they're out of patent in Canada, that will be somewhat reduced. As a result, those people will be paying more for their drugs. We'll be paying more for cars. We'll be paying more for if the market expands, we'll probably be paying more for cheese and some other other products. As a result, the net result of this deal, if the pundits are to be taken seriously, is that the American public will be paying higher prices, so this will be essentially a tax on the American public, while the largest corporations, manufacturers, steel and auto manufacturers, certain parts manufacturers, and to a certain extent the agricultural community, will be doing better. So, this is a form of populism I just don't get.
So why are some of these writers saying it's not good for investors?
Well, I can't tell you that, and I think the problem that they're citing is that, first of all, there's a 16-year sunset on this deal, and there are ways of modifying the deal that had been precluded under NAFTA, so that where, again, and we've spoken about this so many times, what investors are looking for is a degree of stability and certainty. What this does is it throws an institutionalized element of uncertainty into the mix. Included in this, by the way, or not included in this, is a commitment on the part of the United States to drop the tariffs that were imposed by the Trump administration on steel and aluminum. That's still to be negotiated, so we don't know where that is. So there's a great deal of uncertainty there. If and I understand you have Keith on later on in the
Keith Rosenblum, our Mexico contributor, is going to give us the Mexican take.
Sure. Yeah, he'll talk about the effects in Mexico, but the dispute resolution aspects of NAFTA were maintained in this deal, but only for Canada. They're dropped for the Mexicans, and disputes now have to be resolved by the local jurisdictions, the court systems in both countries. That provides an element of localized uncertainty that could really be upsetting to markets. And I think that might be one of the reasons why some investor groups are saying we just don't think that this is as stable an agreement as it could be.
You had mentioned wine, and we've spent quite a bit of time, as you know, Shelley, up in British Columbia, and they've got some wonderful wines,
sure.
The Canadian wines from the Okanagan Valley of southern British Columbia that just have not been available in this country. And I'm wondering, you were saying something about American wines being available on the shelves of Canadian liquor stores. I wonder if it will be
a reciprocal agreement. I have not read anything.
That I hope would, that comes out
yeah,
of this.
That would be, if it's reciprocal, that would be great. Mm-hmm. The other thing, I guess we're going to have to start calling it the USMCA deal, United States, Mexico and Canada deal. This has to go through the Congress. Probably won't be signed till 2019, but it would be kind of nice if it could be passed by Congress, approved by Congress on November 10th, which is the birthday of the United States Marine Corps, USMC.
Yeah,
you only have to add
former.
A, and now you know how to remember the acronym.
Yeah, you're a former Marine, although they say there's no such thing as a former Marine.
That's true.
Once you're a Marine, you're a Marine. Shelley, I just got an email from Terry Bracey, and Terry wanted to make a point, and I'll convey this to him, that he wanted to say that he completely believed Dr. Ford. And he writes that he admired her so much for her courage, and he wanted to make sure we got that point out, that he did not get that point in during his commentary.
You know, this gets off our point.
Yes,
but,
it does. But I did want to include that.
She was incredibly believable, and it was heartbreaking to watch her. Can these two truths exist simultaneously? And, I suppose some psychologists will tell you that they can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Shelley Fishman, where's the best way to reach you? And I know you do return your emails and phone calls.
I do. The best way is simply to go to thebuckmastershow.com and hit the link to my website, and that will create an email to me, which I instantly return.
Yeah, you do. All right, Shelley, I hope you have a great week. Thank you very much, sir.
You too, Bill.
Okay.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Exciting things going on over at Green Things. A special invitation to really all of the Green Things customers. The pre-grand opening event is going on right now, through November 15th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. You can check out Green Things for all of your gardening needs. And then, of course, check out Zocalo, the Zocalo Village. Zocalo, for years, was located over near Country Club and Broadway. And then they have now become involved with Green Things. So what they've created over at Green Things is pretty much a whole village of great things going on. They actually have five shops in the Zocalo Village. So finish off your visit to Green Things with a visit over to the Zocalo Village, and then stay for the complimentary wine bar. All right. Also, we want to tell you about Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's is, of course, my favorite place for bakery goods. Mona's Danish Bakery is the home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry do just such a great job with all of those European baked goods. You just can't go wrong there. Now is a great time to go by Mona's Danish Bakery. Why not have a sandwich over there at Mona's and make sure that you won't have to worry about bread being fresh, because certainly it will come out of the oven very fresh, and there'll be a wide variety of breads to choose from. Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. So check out Mona's right now for a great time to have a sandwich. All right, we're playing a little catch-up here. Hopefully we're going to have Keith Rosenblum coming on. Ray, I just sent you that number for Keith, and so we'll hopefully get Keith Rosenblum. And we were supposed to have Congressman Tom O'Halloran with us on the live line, so we're kind of playing catch-up here. We hope to have Tom calling in any moment, and then or Keith Rosenblum. But whatever, if you'd like to call us with your opinion on whether or not you think Judge Kavanaugh is going to be confirmed, 790-2040 is our live line number, 790-2040. Might be a good idea. Should we take our break here and while we kind of regroup, Ray, or no? Let's take the break right here, and then we'll be back, and hopefully we'll have this all sorted out. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies, as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Let's go now on the live line to Keith Rosenblum, one of our 24 fine contributors. Keith covers Mexico for us. Keith, how are you, sir?
You know, I'm doing very well. I've just completed a tour of the Bebidas Refrescantes de Nogales plant in Nogales, Mexico today. You got me right at the end of it. And I'll tell you what, it's actually an eye-opener for anybody that thinks that Mexico is in second place to anybody in the world. This is, believe it or not, it's a Coca-Cola bottling plant, and it uses almost no water at all. It's one of the vanguard Coke plants in the world, and it's robot-sized, all over 500 or 600 employees. What an amazing experience. Anyway, I just couldn't resist sharing that with you.
Well, Keith, give us your take on the newly reconstituted North American Free Trade Agreement. The Mexico's president-elect, Mr. Obrador, has kind of glossed over the concessions made, pointing out that this will bring a lot of stability. He's not been a great fan of NAFTA in the past.
Well, I would say old wine, new bottle.
Huh.
President Trump had to come up with something, and on a scale where we'll call it radical change, a 10 represents radical change and a 0 represents no change. I would say this is window dressing. This is a 2, maybe. What this does, which is really interesting, it includes a couple of new items. Dairy and lumber and things like that. You change the name of it. You force the Mexicans to raise their wage scale for certain parts of the automotive industry. The differences are really nuances, and it'll make no difference in anybody's world. It's really window dressing. No change. No one in Tucson is going to be affected by it. More interesting than where there is going to be a change, and this is the part that remains to see how dramatic it is, will be the new Lopez Obrador policy that declares a 30-mile strip of the entire 2,000-mile border to be a zona libre, a free zone, or that's what they're calling it, an economic opportunity zone. And that will go into effect on January 1st. He's not president yet. Remember that. He hasn't become president until December 1st. He controls all the rest of the apparatus of the country, which, for the most part, has changed hands, but not the executive branch yet. Anyway, that policy is going to be a really interesting one. You lower the taxes in the border area. He did a really interesting, kind of a casual, almost like the equivalent of a fireside chat, if you want to call it that, where you're very casually standing at the fence says this is going to be a policy that will allow Mexicans to earn better wages, to be more entrepreneurial, and not have to go to the United States. Now, how that plays out is right now a guess, but that actually might make a difference. But a change in nomenclature and a change in very minor things involving the three countries, no big diff. It'll serve to maybe help Mexican wages a little bit, but not anything that's going to make any difference in your life, that's for sure.
Well, that's one of the areas I did want to bring up, that he is talking about, the new president's talking about changes at the border, and that could affect Tucson, correct?
Well, which one are you referring to? The change in the North American, the U.S.-Canada-Mexico Free Trade Agreement, which is NAFTA with a new name on it,
right,
is going to make no difference whatsoever. None. But that's not going to affect anybody in Arizona.
I was talking about...
If it makes a...
I was talking about the border.
I'm talking about the
border
free zone that Lopez Obrador has declared. That has the potential of making a huge difference, and that we don't know yet because none of the guidelines have yet really been established. What he's saying is we're going to provide incentives to Mexicans and foreigners alike to move to the border area. So for us, that would mean Nogales, Sasebo, Douglas, Naco, Lukeville, or Ajo. Sonorita. I'm thinking of Mexico, but, and build in Mexico, and we'll give you all sorts of guarantees that you'll be able to locate in the border area. It's very similar to what President Echeverria did in the 60s, where Mexico basically had a homestead program, but more about industry, that said to people, we want to develop the northern part of the country. Let's go ahead and give people incentives. So this is a new policy based on that, really.
At the beginning of the interview, I didn't catch the name. You said you just toured a facility. Would you give us that again, please?
I would love to, because I've done some work for these people, and I love them, and I love the plant. It is Bebidas Refrescantes de Nogales, BRN, and they employ 550 people. They are a Coca-Cola bottling plant, one of 10 in the country, and it's a plant that uses almost no water, almost no electricity for their operations. It's a state-of-the-art plant. I think there's nothing like it, really, in Arizona. I'm here with a friend who's from Coca-Cola Tucson, which is fire bottling. And this company has been like a bellwether, like a leader in soft drink preparation in Mexico for years and years. It's fascinating to see the investment that's here. It defies all of the all people's stereotypes about Mexican industry. It is more mechanized with better technology probably than any of its counterpart plants in the United States. How's that for a local company in Nogales, Mexico?
Well, I'm very curious because some people swear by the Coca-Cola that comes from Mexico. They like the fact that they get it in the bottle, and they think the formula is different. Do you have any idea? Is the formula different?
I sure do. The formula is very different, and I'm one of those people that you're talking about because it is far better. It's made with sugar, not with fructose. And that therein... That is the reason that people gladly pay at everywhere on South 6th Avenue and at supermarkets and now even in Costco, people will pay a premium to have a product made in Mexico, and they're just side by side in a lot of supermarkets. And so that's why. And every time I come down here, I like drinking anyway from a returnable bottle, so I'm more than happy to pay when I go to the store here, or when I come to the plant, I'm happy to pay for a one-pint bottle, which we don't talk about very much anymore, but we'll call it a half-liter bottle for this conversation. I pay the equivalent of about 36 cents, and I bring it back to Tucson, and that is why I have friends in Tucson, Bill, because they know that the Rosenblums have returnable bottle Coca-Colas or Fanta or Fresca or strawberry, grape, and what else. Anyway, this is what both, you know, if our palates unite us and are the source of lots of conversations, this is one right here And these people last year bottled, what was it? I believe you said 12, just around 12 million cases of Coca-Cola.
Wow.
Way ahead of most in the States. And they bottled not only for their own market here, but also for Coca-Cola bottlers in Tijuana, Mexicali, and Ciudad Juarez and the city of Chihuahua. How's that for
there you go.
Knowledge of a Coca-Cola bottling plant?
Okay, Keith.
I'm your one-man encyclopedia person on Coca-Cola.
All right, we're going to let you go because we have Congressman Tom O'Halloran waiting in the wings here. I do appreciate the update, and it's interesting to learn about the new Coca-Cola bottling plant.
I will get a couple bottles to your office, and we'll get them to him as well.
So oh, that would be great. Thank you so much, Keith.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find a complete listing of the many great places to stay. And there's several dozen recreation ideas for you. Good time of year to go hiking over in the very greened-up Gila National Forest over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now on the live line Congressman Tom O'Halloran, Representative, United States Representative from the 1st Arizona Congressional District. Congressman O'Halloran, how are you?
I'm doing great. How's everything going there, Bill?
Going very well. And, of course, you are standing for a second two-year term in the United States Congress. You had a long career up in Phoenix at the State House, both as a Arizona representative and a state senator. You began your career with the Chicago Police Department, my hometown, growing up on the North Shore of Chicago in Wilmette. But you were with the police department from 1966 to 1979. So you've had a very interesting career. And as you stand for re-election, what are the differences between you and your Republican opponent, Colonel Wendy Rogers, other than the obvious you're a Democrat and she's a Republican?
there's a lot of differences between the two of us. I'm a supporter of Social Security, and my opponent feels that it's unconstitutional. That's her statement, not mine, and that it needs to be phased out. We're at different directions on education. She believes that the Department of Education should be cut by 15% over the next number of years to starve it to death. The problem is that that it provides us in Arizona $1 billion for our educational systems. It addresses Pell Grants for our children in the state to be able to attend universities. It provides for health services for Title I families and food, school food issues, and on. So, and there's no plan to it. I mean, if there's a plan, does the state take it over, or do we have a state that's not been funding education appropriately? Or do we want them to take over that type of a process, or is there any thought on the federal government's mind of where this money would go to anyway? So right now, I don't see where the federal government would say, give us back a penny. So, but I think that it's a short-sighted view of a longer-term and very complicated issue. So those are a couple of the areas that are major. I think our forest lands throughout the state, we have a difference of opinion whether they should be under the purview of the state versus the federal government. Even Governor Brewer in the past has said that that's just not the type of process that the state wants to get into. And, she has indicated time and time again that I haven't been around the district. And I don't know, we've put on over 40,000 miles in a year and a half on the official side. And we've been to every part of the district. Some of the areas have told us that they've never seen a congressman in decades. So, but that's more political rhetoric than anything else. And those are just a few of the many differences that we have.
Let's talk about the Grand Canyon. There was some good news, I guess. The canyon will not areas around the Grand Canyon will not be opened for additional mining activity. Is that your understanding?
That's correct. Uranium mining is something I've supported this decision for a long time, and finally it became reality. And the Supreme Court just refused to take it on. I mean, they just felt that it just was an issue that that's probably settled in law already. But the idea that we have 500 abandoned uranium mines in the northern part of our state anyway that have been there for decades, haven't been cleaned up. Children are playing in them. You know, if the mining industry for uranium wants to get its act together and identify how it would conduct its businesses in the future, that's one thing. But right now, there's no indication that they would change the way they've treated our lands in the past.
You've been putting, as you said, a lot of miles on your vehicle traveling over a huge district, I believe the largest congressional district within a state, other when you don't count Wyoming. Anyway, District 1 is huge, going all the way up in the suburbs, northwest suburbs of Tucson, up to past the Grand Canyon, almost to the Utah border, I guess. It's a huge district. What is the number one issue that people are telling you that they want to see you tackle and your congressman in Washington?
Well, all over the state, education is one of the big issues, but jobs and making sure that rural America gets treated fairly. You know, we have rural America, for the most part, has not seen the type of economic changes that the rest of America is undergoing. And it's because of its remoteness. It's because of the fact that we don't have enough broadband, which we've been working on and gotten more funding for, but not enough so far. And you can't compete today in today's economic environment without that type of broadband. So the economy is critical to these areas. And quite frankly, you know, we're probably going to be losing Navajo Generation Station. There's three more coal generation plants in the district. There's concerns about those, and over 200 coal generation plants have closed over the last recent years in America. So, but to those particular counties and cities and municipalities, these are critical areas. And I'm a big believer in renewable resources, but we have to make sure we do it so that we have a plan to make sure our families have jobs afterwards, and their quality of life and the tax structure of a county or a city or town and a school district are not totally destroyed.
We've been talking a lot on the program, Congressman, today during the noon hour about the new North American Free Trade Agreement. There's a new name for it, but it some feel that it's pretty much just a retooling of what we already had. Just curious, some of your thoughts. Do you think this will pass among your colleagues in Congress?
I listened to a little bit of what was being stated. I think it's too early to identify what it is because I don't think the administration completely understands what they've agreed to, nor does Canada and Mexico. So we're going to go through a period of time now to analyze, and they have to come out with much more information on it for us to be able to make an appropriate evaluation. I think everybody in Congress wants something that's good for the three countries so that we can continue to have, in Arizona's case, we send more product to Mexico than they send to us. That's good for Arizona. It's good for our economy, and we want to continue to see that occur. I'm very interested, since I'm on the Agriculture Committee and on the conference committee that's looking at the Farm Bill right now, and just what the milk deal is and what the other farm issues are, because the Congressional District 1 has a tremendous amount of agriculture in the southern part of the district, and we have a cattle industry that's very important too. But we just it's too early to make anything other than saying, thank God we're getting through this. I was very, very concerned, I was extremely concerned that we were at one time going through maybe a bilateral agreement instead of all three parties. So I'm very happy about that. And, you know, I think most people in Congress will be open about being able to approve this.
All right, and only just a few seconds left, but I was thinking about the diversity. You were mentioning agriculture and the forests, and you've got some of the very rural areas, and it's almost a microcosm of the United States, isn't it, CD1?
It really is. 12 tribes. I forgot to mention the Copper District, the Copper Corridor. industry, you know, the five national forests, 22 national parks and monuments. The basic thrust of most of the surface waters in the state, the Salt River Project, to feed basically the Phoenix area with water, come from the district. You could go on, but it has almost every aspect that you see around the country in one way or another.
All right, Congressman O'Halloran, thank you very much for spending some time with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Have a great one.
You too. Tom O'Halloran, he is the Democrat United States Congressman from the sprawling 1st Congressional District of Arizona. That's going to do it for our program today. Ray Allen, thank you, Ray. Doing a little extra duty today, but that's why we pay you the big bucks, Ray, for days like today. Anyway, it all worked out well. That's the good news, and hope you had a good show, and I hope folks enjoyed listening. We'll be back with you 12:04 tomorrow for the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon and evening.